A Midday with Howie Lim replay from Money FM 89.3.
And Home and Yours is up next. We are talking about the property sector and also consumer affairs. But property has always been a popular investment tool for Singaporeans, but it may or may not be lucrative at times. It can make you richer, says Winston Lee, Regional Head, Special Projects at Property Guru Group. But let's not die trying, shall we? Also, he'll talk us through how he thought property did in 2018 and what we can look out for in 2019. Winston, thanks so much for coming today.
Hi, good morning.
Happy to have you back. We spoke earlier in the year. So let's talk about how you think we did in 2018 in terms of property.
In 2018, just to do a quick market recap, there are three key points to share. The first one is that there's a huge en bloc fever in 2018, but that probably only lasts until the first half of the year. So in total, there were $10.5 billion of transaction being done in the en bloc market with two notable ones. One of them is the Pearl Bank apartment. Mm. It's notable not only because of the size of the transaction, but also because of the heritage design, building, and there's a lot of hoo-ha about preservation and all that. And the other notable transaction is a $938 million transaction by Kuo Kuo Lang in Rear Valley on Pacific Mansion. So that one is notable because the transaction size actually almost breached the $1 billion mark,
right,
which is an all-time high. The second key point to note is that there is an increase in supply in 2018. So there is about 3,000 housing units coming from several mega projects launched during that period. Notable one would be Riverfront Residence in Hougang, Affinity in Serangoon, and Jadescape in the Upper Thomson area. The third key point is that the City Fringe District 12, 13 and 14 posted the highest quarterly increase in prices at 12.6%. And I think this is primarily due to the launches that's happening in that area in Potong Pasir. We have the Travel Park Colonia. So all these actually help to boost up the transaction prices in this area.
So 2019, might we see much of the same thing? Actually, when we talked earlier in the year, we already knew that the en bloc fever may not rage as hard as it did for 2017. And it kind of looks like that's what happened, isn't it, Winston?
Yes. There are five key points to watch out for in 2019. The first one is that because last year, 2018, was characterized by a lot of en bloc deals happening, right?
Yeah.
And all these developers were blatantly buying land from this en bloc seller as well as GLS. So if 2018 is a year for buying by developer, then 2019 is a year for selling.
To sell,
for
yes.
them. So it will reach an all-time high of 40 new project launches in 2019. So what we are going to see is this year will be, in colloquial term, a very happening year in terms of new launches. Consumers will be spoiled for choice with 40 new launches to choose from. And interestingly, because of the previous introduction of the additional 5% ABSD, likely developers will also have to price their products to sell. So I think it will be a very tempting and very interesting year for consumers with the array of choices from different options and also competitive pricing from developer. They have to compete among themselves. And secondly, they also have to take into consideration the additional stamp duty. So with these two factors, it's likely to be very attractive for the consumer. And the other thing to note is that some of the earlier launches is also due for completion. So 2019, we are also going to see quite a big jump in completion. There's expected to be 10,000 apartment units to be completed.
Mm-mm.
Again, that also augur well, I would say it's a consumer's buyer's market. On one hand, you have all the 40 new launches to choose from. On the other hand, you also have another 10,000 completed units to choose from. Not all are so fully sold out. There will be some random inventory.
And then again, developers really need to step it up and try and get it sold, right? Which means happy prices for consumers.
Yes. So I think we can look forward to see some very interesting packaging being done by developers in order to move the units.
So when you say interesting, what do you mean? For example,
I think we have already seen other than discount. We also have seen certain package like deferred payment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And some of them may come up with other packages ranging from furnishing to other exciting features for consumers. So I think these are some of the attractive things that consumers can look forward to. Yeah. And the second key point to note is that from the Property Guru research, we find that there's three top search areas. And one of the top search areas that we would like to bring up is District 19, which consists of Punggol, Sengkang and Serangoon.
Again, for the young families more so than anything, right?
Yes. Yep. And we see an increase in searches for this district. You are right. I think because this is a district, Sengkang, Punggol, is a district where young families live. And many of them have already waited up to 5 years MOP for their HDB flat.
Yeah.
Because the whole thing about this additional 5% stamp duty is it probably weed out a lot of investors out of the market. So who are left in the market?
Home buyers.
Upgrader from HDB flat because they have waited up their 5 years and they are holding on to their 5-room flat. And it's a good time for them to upgrade to the condominium. And Punggol, Sengkang, we have a lot of this group of people. So I'm not surprised that we see a huge search for these apartments in this area. And secondly, other than demand side, it's also the supply side. There's also launches, quite a number of launches in this area.
In those areas, yeah.
Yes, we have Affinity, we have Garden Residence, and Riverfront Residence is also one of the top selling projects. And by and large, these projects in District 19 compared to other launches, let's talk about maybe the 4th Avenue Residence in Bukit Timah area, which is 2,000 over per square foot. These launches are comparatively much affordable.
Mm.
The pricing is more palatable for the man in the street, for the average Singaporean dual income salaried worker.
Yeah.
So we are not surprised to see an increase in search for this District 19.
Right.
And the third key point to highlight is that interestingly, in 2018, we do see a rental price recovery and also a drop in vacancy rate to 6.8%. So it appears that 2018 for the investor who are renting out the apartment is good news. There's a notable increase in the rental prices, about 1.5% in the city fringe area. But having said that, we are a bit more cautious approaching to 2019. Because as I mentioned earlier, there's expected to be around 10,000 condominium units coming on stream. So with 10,000 units coming on stream, not all of them will be owner-occupier. There will be a sizable percentage of investor. So all these new units will come in and compete with the older units. And by and large, the tenants market in Singapore is such that most tenants prefer newer apartment, newer project. They have more stylish design, more interesting amenities, facility. So I think whether this continued improvement of the rental prices and the drop in vacancy rate, I think it's quite questionable.
Still remains to be seen. Okay.
It might not, the trend that happened in 2018 may not happen in 2019. The only moderating factor I see mitigating factor I see is because of the displaced homeowners from the 2018
en bloc fever. Yes.
like one of the apartments that I have where the owners have to hand over the key, usually by 2019 when they do the en bloc in 2018. So this displaced homeowner, some of them may not find their permanent home immediately. So they could provide a short-term
boost to the rental market.
To the rental market. So if this group is sizable enough, then there's still a chance for the rental recovery to happen in 2019. So that is the only redeeming factor for the rental market.
Right. And, but you're an expert, Winston. Yes. So tell us what Singaporeans are thinking and their expectations, their sentiment toward property market, according to a survey that you guys did, right?
Yes. Actually, in the survey that we did, a large proportion of the Singaporean, they would prefer the stamp duty to be reduced. The
additional stamp duty to be reduced. You can prefer and hope, but...
Yes. So if you ask about sentiment, I would say a sizable number of them actually would like the stamp duty to be reduced. It goes to shows that by and large, I would say at least half of the Singapore home buying population have an interest to buy their second and third property.
For investment purposes.
Okay. Because for those who are buying their first property, they wouldn't tell us they prefer the additional stamp duty because they are not affected.
Yep.
So I guess this group of Singaporeans, at least half of them, probably already own their first home. They would aspirationally like to buy their second or even third home. But because of the additional buyer stamp duty, that is holding them back. So I think by and large, Singaporeans is still very believe in brick and mortar, believe in the property market, and believe that it's a stable store of wealth, it's a stable vehicle to plan for their retirement.
Mm.
It's probably less volatile than the stock market. So by and large, I think Singaporeans still aspire to own their second and third property.
How true is this, though? There are external factors that affect the property market, aren't there? Macroeconomic factors as well.
Yes. So we do note that in 2018, Singapore economy does grow quite decently. In Q3, the economy grew by 3%. And for 2019, the MITI, Ministry of Trade and Industry, forecast the GDP to grow by 1.5 to 3.5% in 2019. So you notice the range is quite huge. The reason why the range is quite huge is there's a lot of variable that is beyond the control of the Singapore government or even beyond the control of Singaporean. We have the US-China trade war, which definitely will affect the Singapore economy. But how the outcome will pan out, nobody knows because they are having a 90-day ceasefire now. And everybody hope for the best to happen, but the worst can also happen, which is why the range is quite big currently. So I guess for Singaporean, if they want to go into the market, it's better for them to assume a worst-case scenario rather than a best-case scenario.
Or a wait-and-see approach?
That could also be the case. I do notice there are some buyers sitting on the sideline, which is why now the properties that are moving are those that are priced competitively to sell. So those which are priced competitively to sell will have the power to capture the buyer's interest and therefore can move the units. And the other thing to note is that other than the macroeconomics is also the interest rate. We have already seen Fed, the US Federal Reserve, increase the latest round of interest rate in the Q4 of last year. And they have already signaled that they will continue to raise interest rate this year in 2019. Just that they say they will moderate the increase. But then we all know that now we can no longer get a bank loan interest rate of 1.2%, 1.3%. Now it's definitely crossed 2%. So it may be possible that by the end of 2019, it may even hit close to 3%. So I guess for Singaporeans who are really moving, going to the market, whether it's buying their second, third, or even first property, they have to calculate whether, assuming if the interest rate is not 2% now, if it's 3%, can they still service the installment? But of course, having said that, location is also key. It's important for them to pick the right location so that they have renter to cover their installment. So that will mitigate the rise in interest rate, which is where our Area Insider comes into the picture, where we offer them Property Guru Area Insider, where it allows them to understand what are some of the next big thing that's happening in each of the neighborhood. And then with that, they are able to make a better choice in terms of selecting their investment, especially for investment. That's very important. You need to have some big major projects that's happening. When I say project, I'm not referring to property. I'm referring to, let's say, hospital, school, university.
Transportation nodes.
Yes, yes. And even the second CBD like Jurong, that's happening in that area that can generate employment. And that employment generation will then create a demand for renter of in that area, and that will help them to sustain their servicing of the loan, even despite an increase in interest rate.
So very quickly, Winston, other things they should consider when looking at property investments. So we've talked about how the area is of concern, interest rate is of concern, macroeconomic factors as well, keeping an eye on what's happening in the world. What else?
I think the other part is many buyers tend to neglect the core funding of the property. We also know that the latest measure by the government also reduced the amount that the buyer can borrow by another 5%. So in the past, even for your first home, you can borrow up to 80%, but now it's down to 75%. So and now second property is even lower. So as a buyer, my advice is don't buy beyond your means. Make sure you have sufficient cash and CPF for that down payment of 25%, 20%, or even 50% before you take the plunge. If you don't have so much money, then you buy a smaller unit or you buy a property that is further away from the city rather than overstretch yourself. There are some buyers who even take short-term loan to stump up the down payment. That is, I think, the worst thing to do, because you are actually incurring very high interest charges for the down payment with no clear signs that you are able to cover that short-term high interest. Not talking about that long-term loan also, because now the market volatility is still there and interest rates still continue to rise. So that I would advise them against doing such a move.
So it's again that line, let's make some money, but let's not die trying,
be,
right?
Be prudent. Yes, be prudent. I think prudence is a key word for 2019 or even 2020, because the world today where we see is a much more turbulent world compared to even 5 or 10 years back. We have a lot of shifting geopolitics happening in the big boys around the world, and that unfortunately will have a direct impact on Singapore, which is an open economy. So buyers need to be mentally prepared for major economic
upheavals.
Yes.
Winston Lee, Regional Head, Special Projects at Property Guru Group. You can check them out, propertyguru.com.sg. Winston, thank you so much.
Yep.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.